producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This week on the Paracast, Chris O'Brien is on special assignment, which is a convenient way of saying that he had something else he needed to do and won't make it here. But we do have a worthy substitute in the person of Kurt Collins, who returns as our guest co-host. Kurt, welcome back to the Paracast.
Thank you.
We're going to catch up on a few things before we introduce our main guest, who is none other than Nick Redfern, who has written in the month of, between September and August of 2015, he released three new books. I think he's going for a rest cure, because if I put out three books that quickly, I would go for a rest cure. But let's catch up on a few things here. So you're telling me, Kurt, that this show will coincide with the MUFON conference, right?
That's right. They're starting Thursday through Sunday, I guess. Yeah, they've got some big things. Our friend Jaime Masson is one of the presenters. Paul Hellyer, Mark D'Antonio, I believe he's been on your show. So there's a mix. I think some people that are respectable and some that are present some interesting information.
Well, I always have problems when you have one of these events, but you also have people who maybe have some questionable credentials, like Jaime Masson.
They say that he was booked for his international reputation, and he's a good source for providing videos, international videos. That may be so, but there's some other problems that squirrel monkeys, for instance, mummies, few things like that.
Just a few problems. And then, of course, Paul Hellyer, when they had that citizens' hearing on UFOs with former members of Congress in Washington, D.C., he had a speech towards the end of the session where he sort of went off the rails.
Well, the thing that I've heard, and I've talked to a few people that have met him, you know, he had a position with the Canadian government, but that was a long time ago, and he really has no serious direct knowledge of the UFO field, and he's a recent newcomer. He became basically a UFO fan. I think he read a few UFO books, and you know, he's got some interesting economic theories, which may or may not be valid, but it's all secondhand information. I mean, you know, if you went to somebody and met a UFO fan at a bookstore, their knowledge would be about as valid as what he brings.
So the reason that he has government credentials years ago, that's what gives him credibility that maybe he doesn't deserve.
Well, you know, I think that's true. That's absolutely true. You know, he's definitely banking on that relationship. And I think he had some other he had run for election again and wasn't reelected. So, you know, I'm sure he's a nice man, but they didn't want him back.
Understand that. I noticed an old friend is also speaking, Preston Dennett. Now, I had a magazine back in the 70s and 80s called Caveat Emptor that I published and edited with my first wife, Geneva. And he was a regular writer towards the end of that magazine's existence. So it's kind of interesting to see that after all these years, he's still at it.
Wow, that's great. No, I'm not familiar with his work, so it'll be interesting to see what he presents at the conference.
Are you going to be there?
No, I've got a friend, Rich Hoffman, will be there. He's the former Mississippi State Director. He's over Alabama. He's one of the ones that's involved in that star team manager now. You know, he's highly placed in MUFON, and as a separate project, I think I mentioned the last time I was here that he's working on that Puerto Rican case with the separate group from MUFON, the Scientific Coalition of Ufology. Now, I don't know if he's going to present anything there, but I'm sure that the video, this Puerto Rican video that they analyzed, will be discussed. You know, it should be a good topic.
Now, just to point out here, this conference is happening when this show will be on. Okay, so if you don't hear the Paracast immediately as it's broadcast over the GCN network, you hear it as a podcast version or through Paracast Plus. Well, folks, the event is happening, or would have happened, in Irvine, California. But we'll have more information on it. Should mention, since we're discussing the Paracast Plus, that's our alternative to just listening to the show on the radio or as a straight podcast. We offer a special version without the ads, better quality audio for the Paracast Plus, and we also give you the After the Paracast podcast, which is a tongue twister. But it's also a fascinating show from 25 to 45 minutes. It's post-game commentary, color commentary, special guests. It's really fascinating. After the Paracast, there's only one way to get that show, and that's to join the Paracast Plus. You go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com, and we've got a special deal for you. If you sign up for a year, you get the ebook version of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley from Chris O'Brien. If you sign up for 5 years, you get that book and Stalking the Tricksters from Chris O'Brien, trend-setting book, new paradigm in UFO research, Stalking the Tricksters. And it comes with a 5-year membership of the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Let me hit one other topic, Kurt, and that is something kind of funny. Now, of course, Kurt is the proprietor or curator of JimMosley.com, which is a site that honors the memory of our late friend Jim Mosley. And I was reading the other day a review on the scholarship or lack thereof in a book called Killing Jesus, which is written by Bill O'Reilly, the Fox News host. And he has a co-author who I suspect probably did most of the writing, but that's another story. In any case, this person reviewed that book and found like 133 inconsistencies just about the dates of the events in the history of Jesus. And the guy's name, he's a minister who writes a lot of stuff. His name is James Mosley. Now, the irony of this, of course, is that the Jim Mosley I knew, or the James Mosley I knew, was not religious at all. That is real strange. But if you want to find out more, you go to JimMosley.com. Kurt, can you tell our listeners, do you have some new stuff over there now?
I'm hoping to have something, and, you know, Nick Redfern was a friend of Jim Mosley's, so I'm going to pester him to see if he's got something he could contribute.
Well, that will be a very interesting thing, because Nick is going to be on the show this week. And as we've mentioned, Nick Redfern is one of the most prolific UFO authors currently. I think the only UFO author who has written more books, and he was written about general paranormal subjects, is none other than Brad Steiger. At last count, he was up to 165 books. I don't think Nick is quite there yet, but his recent books include, this is just for August and September, is Bloodline of the Gods, Unravel the Mystery in the Human Blood Type to Reveal the Aliens Among Us, The Bigfoot Book, The Encyclopedia of Sasquatch, Yeti, and Cryptid Primates, and Men in Black, Personal Stories and Eerie Adventures. We can never give up on those Men in Black.
And Gina, believe it or not, there's another one.
Another one?
Chupacabra Road Trip in Search of the Elusive Beast.
Right. You know, I didn't even notice that one because there's so many books that Nick has written. And the fact that four of them come out within 1 month of each other is not because he wrote them all within a month. It's very likely because different publishers have different schedules. But you know what? We're going to rag on Nick over that. You know, how do you write four books? What'd you do, get Bill O'Reilly to write for you or William Shatner or something?
I was looking for a bibliography of Nick, and I don't think anyone's got a file big enough to hold all the books. But I did notice that one of his books was co-authored with Brad Steiger, so that's interesting that these two record holders, you know, have worked together. I can't remember the title of that. We might have to ask him about that.
We'll have to look it up because he has a page on Amazon. But there's a lot of fascinating stuff here. We'll talk about the recent books, about the Bigfoot, about the Bloodline of the Gods, which I really want to talk about because we don't get into that topic as often as we should. Nick Redfern coming up next with Gene and our co-host Kurt Collins. You're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Kurt Collins is our guest co-host this week. Chris O'Brien's on special assignment. We're happy to welcome one of the most prolific authors in the world of the paranormal, Nick Redfern. Welcome back, Nick.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Quite well, my friend. I was thinking here, and Kurt and I were kind of mentioning this in the preamble to the show. How many books have you written now?
About at 32 across about 22 years, something like that.
All right, 32 books. That's about as many as I've written. But I wrote a lot of books about computers.
I remember you telling me that once before. You didn't do like a lot of like how-to books and that kind of thing, were there?
Right, and those are the kind of books that don't last, you know. You write something about a current version of a computer operating system or software or a current product, and that product is obsolete in a year. So there's not much longevity. So unless you have a really old product, nobody cares about my books anymore.
Well, you know, I think you get that even in UFO books. I mean, if UFO researchers are honest with each other, you know, certainly a lot of my conclusions and thoughts on the UFO subject have definitely changed since I first wrote my books, our first books, you know. So if somebody picked up the first couple of books that are 96, 97, something like that, you know, they'll see a lot of my thoughts today, they're different to that, to what they were back then. Now, certainly there's people who still hold some of the theories that I held back then, but some of my ideas have definitely changed. You know, I guess you get that across the board, really.
Since you raised the subject, what do you think are the key areas in which your viewpoints have changed over the years from the first books to the current ones?
Oh, well, I think the most significant one is the issue of the origins of the UFO phenomenon. You know, I'm pretty doubtful of the scenario of them being literally extraterrestrial. I mean, my first two books, Covert Agenda and FBI Files, were published in 97 and 98, but they were sold to the publisher in 96, and the writing was completed on both round about 94. So, you know, we're going back 20-plus years, and certainly like 22 years since those two books, 23 years since I even started writing them. And I mean, ironically, probably within a year or two of those books coming out, I've started to take far more of the same type of approach that John Keel took, you know, and I pretty much, as people who know me will know, that for the most part, you know, I'd be very surprised if the answer is just, oh, it's aliens from another world visiting us. I'd sort of take far more, like I said, like a Keelian view of everything.
There was once an article that Ray Palmer wrote in Flying Saucers magazine back in the 60s, and he was also talking about UFOs not being necessarily spaceships. And he had an article roughly entitled, Do the Martians See UFOs Too?, suggesting that if there were beings on Mars, they'd see UFOs too, because UFOs are not related to a specific planet in the sense of coming from another world. They are possibly intrinsic to that world, just like we suggest that maybe UFOs are intrinsic to Earth, and maybe the aliens on some planet orbiting Tau Ceti, for example, or Zeta Reticuli, they'd also see UFOs and wonder what they were.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, that actually touches on some of the things that Keel said, the idea that the UFO phenomenon and, you know, a wide range of other bizarre mysteries are actually indicative of something that's part of the planet rather than something that is visiting the planet or something that unknown that lives on the planet, that it's part of the Earth itself, or something that manifests here and has manifested, you know, over as long as we've been around in various archetypal guises, you know, gods, demons, angels, space brothers, greys, extraterrestrials, you know, Bigfoot. My view certainly for the last sort of 20 years has been, you know, I don't dismiss the extraterrestrial hypothesis at all, but I think, you know, there's, even if I don't fully understand what's going on, I think there are enough threads that kind of demonstrate a linkage and parallels and similarities between a lot of these phenomena that so many people dearly wish weren't connected, you know, but that says more about their belief systems than anything else.
You know, when you talk about that, you kind of bring to mind one of your books that I have here. It's called Bloodline of the Gods, subtitled Unravel the Mystery of the Human Blood Type to Reveal the Aliens Among Us. Now, before we start this, of course, there's a feeling in some circles of people who look into UFO abductions that that's involving, in part, an effort by ET to create a hybrid race. But your book is suggesting basically that we are the hybrids, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the book actually covers two areas. And I should stress that, like all my books, you know, what I try and do is to demonstrate that we're dealing with theories that we try and find data to support or negate. You know, I never, you know, write a book from the perspective of saying, I know for sure this is what's going on, or I believe this, etc. And people sometimes accuse me of fence-sitting because I do take that approach of, you know, I just don't know, but I can present data, and this is an interesting scenario to pursue to see where it leads or it doesn't lead. And that's what I've done with this book. You can find a few articles going back more than a couple of years. But overall, in the last few years, there's been this sort of almost like a surge of interest in people who have Rh negative blood, according to the accounts, the articles, etc., seem to have a higher than normal percentage of UFO experiences, abductions, contactee cases than people who don't have Rh negative blood. And so the book isn't a book that sort of is designed to support the theory. It's a book that looks at the theory and addresses whether there are or there is data that supports it, and if it does, how valuable or, you know, conclusive is it? Or is it just a case of people, you know, repeating what somebody else said and people looking at the Rh negatives but not looking at the rest of the abductees, you know? So in other words, are you getting the false reading because you're focusing on the Rh negatives because you're essentially told to, you know? So it's sort of like an open-minded look at the phenomenon and the theories, and but it's, you know, it's a controversial angle, and you know, as I pointed out, I'm not a big believer in the extraterrestrial angle, but this book looks from the perspective of what people are saying about the extraterrestrial angle and Rh negatives, and then I, you know, then I address it.
Now, just to point out something here, I'll reveal something, and maybe she didn't want me to reveal it, but I don't think it's a big secret. My first wife, Geneva, had Rh negative blood. Now, I don't know the significance of that otherwise. It doesn't mean she's necessarily an alien, but we did mention last week where she had this taste of a very mild drug and had this incredible revelatory experience. So something about her is a little bit different. But I think maybe before we get into anything about Geneva, we should bring her back on the show and talk about that and see how that relates to anything.
Well, you know, it's interesting that people who, you know, there are a lot of stories about people who are given pills or things to drink in relation to UFO encounters. They often describe like a bitter taste. And then they have, like you said, a profound UFO experience. There's actually a brand new, I say brand new book, it came out about 3 months by Joshua Cutchin called A Trojan Feast.
Let's talk about that possibility in our next segment. Our co-host is Kurt Collins. We've got Nick Redfern. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with the Anthem Foundation. Premature birth is the leading cause of death of babies and disabilities for children. That's why we support the March of Dimes to help mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment and outreach to help moms during their pregnancy and give every baby a healthy start in life. Learn how you can help at marchofdimes.org.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Ricky LeBlanc, admitted in Mass only, Sokolov Law, LLC, Chestnut Hill, Mass. Ken Levin, responsible attorney in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Greg Hobby, New Jersey. The choice of lawyer is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertisements. While this firm maintains joint responsibility, most cases of this type refer to other attorneys for principal responsibility. If you know what mesothelioma is, you or someone you love has likely been impacted by this devastating cancer. You may be entitled to compensation. Call Sokolov Law today, 1-800-218-HELP.
The only known cause of mesothelioma is asbestos exposure. Thousands of hardworking men and women, including many U.S. veterans and industrial workers, have been diagnosed with mesothelioma because manufacturers knew the dangers but put profits ahead of people. An estimated $30 billion in court-ordered trust has been set aside to pay money to asbestos victims. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with mesothelioma, call now. You may be entitled to receive compensation without ever going to court or filing a lawsuit. Call for a free legal consultation at 1-800-218-HELP. That's 1-800-218-HELP.
My name is Dell, and I live in El Cajon, California. I was concerned about my cholesterol readings because I knew that high cholesterol is related to clogging of the arteries and increases the risk for heart attack and stroke. One day, I heard an ad for Heart and Body Extract, and I was skeptical, but I decided to give it a try. Man, the numbers don't lie.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
Hi, Peter Beccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Nick Redfern's here with Kurt Collins, our guest co-host. Chris O'Brien is on special assignment, and it looks like Nick has written four books that have been released in weeks of each other. Now, I want to ask you about that because we mentioned the titles previously. We're talking about one of them, Bloodline of the Gods. But how do you get four books coming out within just weeks of each other? Is this because you have scattered production schedules?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, because I'm actually with four different publishers. And for the most part, you know, one might put a book out in January, somebody else puts one out in May, somebody else in October, then somebody else the next January. But I guess it's kind of inevitable because, I mean, they obviously don't consult with each other and say, hey, you know, when are you putting Nick's book out and we'll leave it 3 months? I mean, that would be stupid, you know. That's unheard of, I think. So, in other words, it's inevitable that at some point, I mean, in the past, you know, there's been a couple of times where two books came out together, but inevitably, I guess, the time's going to happen when they all put one out pretty much at the same time. And so this one, Bloodline of the Gods, is published by New Page Books. The Men in Black book is published by my agent's company, Lee Sahagan Books. The other one, Chupacabra Road Trip, that's published by Llewellyn. And the Bigfoot book is Visible Ink Press. But they weren't all written. You know, I wasn't kind of like typing left-handed on the one book and right-handed with the other.
I was thinking you had four computers. And what you do is you write a page here, then you go to the next computer and write another page.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you an example. Say, like Llewellyn, who put out the Chupacabra Road Trip, they, for example, had the book off me in, like, November of last year, but decided to publish it this September. So that was, like, a space of 10 months. Now, the Men in Black book that Lisa's published, I only finished writing that, like, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, something like that. And they really got it out fast. You know, so in other words, the Chupacabra book, the writing was finished close to a year ago, And yet the Men in Black book, the writing was only finished about a month ago. You know, it looks like I'm doing all the books together, but that's actually not the case. A lot of it is down to the sometimes very quick process publishers get them out versus sometimes the quite long process, you know, when the author, when the publisher gets them out.
I was thinking here you wanted to hurry up and become Brad Steiger.
Oh, no, there's no chance of me ever catching up with Brad. Brad's actually coming close to almost 200 now. I think it's like 185.
Oh, boy, I thought it was 165. I'm underestimating here.
No, I know it's in the 180s now, for sure. No, there's no chance of me ever doing 180 books.
Well, you better get started. Let's talk about the Bloodline of the Gods a little bit more here. Now, are you relating it to possible interactions with alien beings in our early history or abductions now? Because I see you are focusing on abductions in some chapters.
Yeah, I would say, I think about 40, it's about 260 pages long, I think, the book. I don't have it in front of me, but it's something like that. Well, about 20 pages deal with what Rh-negative blood is and some of the issues surrounding it. Then there's about 40 pages on the distant past, like the ancient astronaut controversy. And then roughly the remaining 180 or so is abductions, these controversies surrounding hybrids, military abductions, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So that, I guess, 20%, 25% is ancient astronauts. That's pretty much the extent of that part of it.
Well, let's look at the ancient astronauts, because so much has been made of that. And I don't know if you're familiar with this gentleman. Ever hear of Yonah Fortner?
Who, sorry?
Yonah Fortner, F-O-R-T-N-E-R.
No.
Okay.
No.
He was an early writer for Jim Moseley's Saucer News.
Okay.
And he wrote a series of articles under the collective title of Extraterrestrialism as an Historical Chronicle or something like that. I'm paraphrasing the title. And he was saying basically that the God of the Old Testament was E.T.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you suggesting that maybe the beings that we took to be gods or God were in fact visitors from other worlds?
Well, no, I'm not suggesting it. What I do in the book is demonstrate why researchers in the research community, like Zachariah Sitchin, for example, why they came to that conclusion, and to demonstrate, you know, how their views have modelled and shaped, if you like, the scenario of genetic manipulation in the distant past. You know, and I point out some of the things that they've relied on, for example. The whole issue of things like Adam's rib, you know, being used to create Eve. And if you look at the biblical translation, it actually says that Adam was placed into like a great sleep. And, you know, his rib was used and to create Eve. Well, you know, a great sleep, you can interpret that as somebody being anesthetized, you know. And the rib, you know, DNA extraction, genetic materials, that kind of thing. So I point out that it's things like this that led to sort of the formulation of these theories of genetic manipulation in the distant past. But as I also point out, and it's important to remember this, that we're talking about ancient texts, you know, whether it's biblical texts or we're talking about things like the Anunnaki, which, you know, are very dominant in the, you know, the ancient Babylonia, the Assyrians, people like that. These are texts which have been translated, retranslated, and more importantly, interpreted and reinterpreted. So in other words, that's why, I guess, things like this polarize people into different camps. The people who take an ET stance, the people who take, you know, a literal deity-based approach, and others who look at the idea of ancient human civilizations that might have wiped themselves out, you know, and that's one of the big issues, you know, obviously, is the, like I said, is the interpretation of, you know, one man's extraterrestrial in the distant past, another man's God in the distant past. It's, that's the problem we face. You know, there's no way we can really ever prove anything that occurred, you know, really 8,000, 9,000 years ago in terms of supernatural visitations, never mind even further back, you know, in Cro-Magnon times or whatever.
We can't even agree on what happened yesterday.
No, and that's, you know, that's one of the issues that why I always try and write the books that I do in that way. Because, again, if we're honest with each other, you know, we can have belief systems, we can have ideas, and we can bolster those ideas with data and sources and witness interviews. But at the end of the day, it still doesn't prove anything, you know, and that's always been the problem within ufology. And it's the same problem in people who go ghost hunting or hunt for Bigfoot or whatever. You know, you can make a case that Bigfoot was this gigantic extinct ape known as Gigantopithecus. Some people said it's that. Maybe it is. But the problem is it's a theory to explain an enigma, you know, and that's what we're always constantly trying to do. Solve an enigma by coming up with a theory and data, but again, it never really ever proves anything unless it proves it's, you know, it's a hoax or a misidentification. You know, very often people will look at a photograph of a UFO and that'll be resolved because you can see the wire holding it up or whatever, but when it seems to be anomalous, we never get the answer. You know, it's always if the phenomenon's almost toying with us, if you like.
Well, when we look at ancient astronauts, we see these artifacts that appear to look like a flying craft or maybe a being wearing a spacesuit. And this is a common cord used to possibly demonstrate that we were visited by advanced beings long ago. But even if we were, it doesn't mean that our genetic material is something that was combined. Now, of course, we can always take the Battlestar Galactica theory, where the revised Battlestar Galactica TV series that was created by Ronald Moore and other people, that in the last episode, they land on Earth 150,000 years ago, and we assume then that they maybe cohabit with the locals. You know, the gods, of course, cohabiting with the daughters of men, and they create a hybrid race. And we, of course, are that hybrid race. Before we get into more of this stuff, we have Nick Redfern. Our guest co-host is Kurt Collins. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Okay, open your mouth and say, ah.
Ah.
When your child has a sore throat, you need to know when to get help. The doctor-recommended Say Ah Sore Throat Exam is your solution. The scientifically designed oral retractor offers a clear view of the throat, relaxing the tongue and minimizing gag reflex. Compare with a medical-grade chart, website, and app. Then you'll know just what to tell your doctor. A wellness plan in your hands in minutes. Go to SayAhNow.com. SayAhNow.com. The new mainstay for every family's first aid kit.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey systems. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
We've got lots of questions from listeners, and in a few moments I'm going to have Kirk Cullens, our guest co-host this week, address some of those questions and ask them of Nick Redfern. But right now, we started off, and with Nick having four books out, we can do a whole show on each one. We're starting off on Bloodline of the Gods, because this is a fascinating concept that perhaps in ancient times, maybe we're descended from them, or they created a hybrid race among the locals. Now, here's something that sometimes occurs to me when we go into UFO abductions. I've mentioned this before, and that's a feeling or wondering here whether when we have an abduction experience, are we actually having experience with something, or maybe it's our racial memory telling us about the genetic experiments that were conducted that created the human race. Isn't that strange? Ever hear that theory?
Well, I have heard that theory in relation to sort of a very controversial issue of what are known as like inherited memories. You know, the idea that in the same way that people inherit physical traits from their parents, the color of your eyes, the shape of your nose or whatever, or your lips, you know, this controversial theory of inheriting fragments of literal memories, you know, it kind of in a strange way sort of ties in with these stories about somebody has an organ transplant, you know, and then they begin to get the craving of the food or whatever of the person whose organ was transplanted into them, as if some essence of the person has, you know, still exists.
So therefore, if you get an organ transplant and that person was a murderer and you're a pretty nice person, watch out.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a theory, you know, and there are some studies that have been done suggesting it's a reality. But, I mean, I don't think, you know, if somebody has a skin graft or whatever, or, you know, a heart transplant, that they're going to suddenly break out a chainsaw and start chopping people's heads off. No, I think that's bizarre and absurd, you know. But there have been studies done that suggest, you know, a few weird things, but along those lines, but nowhere near as sensational as that. But in saying that, you know, that kind of ties in with what you're saying about, you know, fragments of memories from the past. But, I mean, if you look at a lot of abduction stories, and I point this out in the book, you know, there are clear parallels between today's abduction stories and today's, and also in the distant past, stories of, like, incubus and succubus, you know, the idea of some sort of paranormal, somewhat threatening presence in the bedroom, an inability to move, the thing comes closer. There's a sexual component to it all. You know, and you're having the distant past, like I said, Incubus, Succubus, Lilith. You get the same kind of things in fairy and goblin tales from Middle Ages Europe. Then, you know, we have abductions today, and you still have, you know, things like the Incubus, like, for example, in Newfoundland, you know, you have the old hag. And so, in many respects, you can look at it from the perspective, is it something that actually isn't occurring physically? You know, is it occurring in the mind? Now, you know, I'm not taking a skeptical approach. A lot of these skeptics say, well, it's in the mind in the sense it's a product of the mind. I actually wonder if there's some sort of paranormal phenomena that can actually invade the dream state and intrude upon our dream state, which is highly controversial, you know, but I don't care. You know, I believe, I accept and happy to admit, I believe and accept some freaky stuff, you know, and I sometimes wonder on that if, you know, a lot of UFO experiences, because the craft are very often, okay, they might be archetypal, saucer shaped or whatever, but pretty much they're always slightly different. The beings are always slightly different, you know. I mean, I can understand the idea of maybe three or four races visiting us, but when you get so many different types, and even with the grey ones or whatever, you know, there are slight differences. That makes me wonder if the phenomena is sort of manifesting for each person in a unique way. And maybe we've never actually seen the real UFO phenomenon in its pure literal form. Maybe it sort of reacts and manifests according to our subconscious, our beliefs, our pop culture, all mixed into one, you know.
I want to talk some more about the paranormal aspect, but before we leave the blood of the gods topic, there are a few questions from listeners that are related to this, and some of them, you know, they haven't read the book yet, so this may not be a complete match, but they wanted to know, Gogs wanted to know, do you think the biblical story detailing characters that lived very long lives compared to us could have any validity to them, and, you know, could this relate to the blood?
Well, you know, I mean, again, that's actually something I do talk about in the book. But again, I sort of point out, you know, are we looking at literal sort of super length, you know, lifespans, which supposedly, again, according to the interpretations that the Anunnaki had, you know, whatever the Anunnaki may be, you know, you do have these stories. And then you have stories in the, you know, the Bible, like Methuselah and Noah living extensive lifespans, things like this. Now, of course, again, it's a matter of being open to interpretation. I mean, were the translations correct in terms of, you know, figuring out the lifespans? Were they created to give more of an air of mystery and power to these individuals like Noah? Or was it the literal truth? You know, all we can say for sure is that, you know, researchers have made a case that they did live that long because they take the view that, you know, they're sort of, you know, the offspring of the gods, so to speak, which gets into things like the Nephilim, you know, and hybrids and, you know, the gods coming down and taking the daughters of men, that kind of thing. So you can make that case, but equally you can make a case that somebody really wanted to, you know, sort of make Noah and Methuselah look really powerful and strong and, you know, everlasting. And again, you know, that's truly not me fence-sitting. I have to present, you know, both sides because we have no way of proving it.
Well, that's, yeah, and, but, you know, definitely there's a lot of thought that by various researchers that have tried to use the Bible as source material and marry it to the UFO phenomenon. So
you can do that, but I think you should only do it if you admit that if you're going to take it literally, then you're doing it on belief. If you want to interpret it and show people how and why you interpreted it and demonstrate your theories that you feel back it up, that's fine. But when people just literally say, you know, for example, water was turned into wine, or two of every single animal on the entire planet was loaded aboard an ark, which is ridiculous. The thing would sink in 2 seconds flat. And how do you even get a female and a male fully grown lion onto an ark? Good luck doing that. You know, the thing, you wouldn't even get it 2 feet on the ship before your arm was torn off. So, you know, that's the problem. You can interpret this stuff literally, but if you do, you're doing a disservice to yourself and the readers. You know?
There are a few other questions. Now, this one I don't think you covered. This is more on DNA. They're asking, this is the bitter one. He wants to know if you're familiar with the story of Peter Corey, the Hair of the Alien case that Bill Chalker wrote about. Do you know that one?
Yeah, I don't mention that in the book, but I do know the case. It was actually published by, if I remember correctly, Paraview Pocket Books about 10 years ago. And Bill Chalker wrote this book. It was to do with an abduction story where reportedly a hair was found after an abduction experience. And if I remember correctly, the analysis, I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure the analysis was something along the lines of that there was like a Gaelic connection or something like that to it.
That's right. The quote I had in the question, yeah, said that it showed a combination of two separate types of mitochondrial DNA. You know, so it was very unusual.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew there was something about the DNA, and it was basically the thrust of the book was, you know, sort of forensic analysis, finally, of something in relation to an abduction case. And I did read it, but I've got to be honest, you know, I read it sort of 10 years ago. In fact, I know for a fact that in my bookcase somewhere, I've got like an original proof of it that the publisher sent me to, like an advanced review thing, and I know it was, you know, it must have been a decade ago, or maybe a little bit more, I think. But I mean, it was an interesting book. It was unique, and you know, it took a sort of refreshing approach to the whole abduction phenomenon, rather than just pursuing a story and relating it. You know, actually seeing if there's something that could be forensically studied or not.
Yeah, that's quite rare.
Yes.
And the last, let's see, I think we may have a two-part question here. This one's from Wade. He wants to know, do you think the bloodline has anything to do with the observation made in the past by Keel, how certain ethnicities, such as the Irish and Native Americans, have stronger connections to paranormal phenomenon? And the second part of that was, what do you feel about the dilution of those bloodlines? And, you know, does that just leave them out of luck or out of the privileged?
We'll have the answer from Nick to Wade's question on our next segment. Our co-host is Kurt Collins. We have Nick Redfern, author of 32 books and counting. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack. Of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I'm the president of the largest private news and research network in the world. And I paid for this airtime because I have an important message to the American people. There's a change coming that the government isn't telling you about. This change has deep implications for life in America. From where you shop to the doctors you visit and the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. Thing is, I was right then, too. A few years ago, I warned that housing prices would collapse. They did. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash. They did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves. But this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all.
You can watch the video for free right now by going to DisappearingDollar.com. Again, that's DisappearingDollar.com.